So I would like to thank Father MacDonald for giving me this opportunity to give you a conference, as the Superior has asked us to try to give to you a little light into the situation of the church today, which definitely will shine light on the society, on the Archbishop, and consequently our works in everyday life. So the conference now, the second of the three, will be titled The Cause of Roman Repetition. This is quite cryptic in nature, so I will try to lead you along in these few minutes to try to show you what is the cause of what we say is Roman repetition. So looking over the past 40 years, we see as a proof that history repeats itself. We hear that phrase often spoken, but how little do we understand the reality and see the effects given to us? So although the appearances are not always clear to us, that history, time and time again, decade upon decade, repeats itself, we see this very clearly with our reflection, which oftentimes is 20/20 vision. And also we see the fact that truth never changes. So pending upon these two things, history repeats itself and that truth never changes, we will see that these are the proof, are the assets for the Society of St. Pius X. But stressing this fact, we will take a quote from Cardinal P, which is spelt as pie, apple pie. But Cardinal P, who was a bishop in Poitiers, France, in the 19th century, he was stated with this statement. But today it is no longer possible for Jesus Christ to reign over society. He replies, if today it is no longer the time for Jesus to reign over societies, then it is no longer the time for societies to last. It goes back again to these facts that truth never changes. If God was necessary for societies at one point, he is also now. And again, history repeats itself because there are always those who want to persecute the truth, the church, even today, human nature. So a time when the Society of St. Pius X is being used as the instrument, we need to know what it is. At times, the faithful are confused or unaware of what the purpose of the fight is, therefore what the Society is for, who founded it, when, for what purpose, how long it will last. These are qualities to understand, so to know the reason why you're here. So the following will be an occasion for us to answer some of these questions, to shed light on the past, and God willing to therefore enlighten the future and hopefully increase our strength for the upcoming struggles. So let us commence with a brief timeline and to see how the timeline, the arguments, have never changed. So we will try to take in these 40 years a class of either 5 or 10 years increments. The first being 1970, as Father Gucci mentioned, the establishment of the society. 1974, which was the declaration of Archbishop Lefebvre on the position of the society. 1988, the consecrations of the four bishops. 2000, the Jubilee pilgrimage in Rome. 2005, the Fatima pilgrimage, and then also today, September 2010. So firstly, we'll go with the 1970, November 1st, the Feast of All Saints, where the society was founded. Again, it was founded by Archbishop Lefebvre, who lived in 1905 to 1991. He was French, studied in Rome, and as he was about to retire in Rome, as it was the cause of everyone. He was approached by certain seminarians, one of whom is Bishop Tissier de Malaret. And he was asked by them to help them preserve their priesthood. He has a knock at the door. He's asked. He responds. So we have to understand that it was not his desire whatsoever to form what is so-called this rebellion of the society. Considering this fact, and then also the history at this time, 1970, what happened in 1968 in the world, mostly in the United States? The riots. What happened in the 60s in the Vatican, in the church, therefore, Vatican II, which we would call the revolution, pending on the fact that there was a so-called trilogy, liberty, equality, fraternity. And we know those three items were also the composition of the French Revolution. So having that in mind, we have to see that the riots, Vatican II, composed a disorder in the world. And because we want to focus on these things as a disorder, we will try to apply an order, a remedy to this situation, which we will find is, God willing, the society. But do not forget that Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre desired Vatican II to happen at the beginning, because there were things that needed to happen in the church. However, we see the great horrible outcome that has come. So I will read you a brief excerpt from this declaration, having founded the society formally in the church. And we will try to keep this as a proof of the society for ages to come. It quotes, "Given the encouragements expressed in Vatican II in the decree Optimam Totius concerning integral international seminaries and the distribution of the clergy, the urgent necessity for the formation of zealous and generous priests, conforming to the directives of the cited decree, confirming that the statutes of the priestly society correspond to its goals, we, François Chérier, Bishop of Lausanne, Geneva, and Freiburg, the holy name of God invoked, and all canonical prescriptions observed, decree what follows. The International Priestly Society of St. Pius X is erected as a diocese in our diocese as a pia unio. We implore divine blessings on this priestly society that it may attain its principal goal, which is the formation of holy priests." That's a quote which we have as a document, again as a proof, because we know from our logic and our philosophy that once something is good, unless the circumstances change that, it is always good. So we have this to help us, as we know, looking back, that circumstances have not changed the society. We will then proceed to the second aspect of the timeline, that of November 21st, 1974. This was the declaration of Archbishop Lefebvre and Bishop de Castromeyer to state openly to Rome the stance of the society. And this comes because the Archbishop has seen that the current of the Vatican II is very strong. It is not stopping, it's very consistent, and therefore he needs to take a stand for the faith. And to also see a little spirit at this time, we have a quote from him, the Archbishop. He says, "From the strains of liberalism, Protestantism, and modernism that emerged at the council, that is Vatican II, and that are now leading the church to her ruin, our backs are against the wall, and we have to make a choice. Without rebelling, we choose the beliefs and the practices of the church of all time. Having that in mind, then we have to see that also the straw that broke the camel's back was a visit of the church authorities to Ikon, the society seminary. After the visit, the seminaries came to the archbishop expressing that they were scandalized. They were scandalized at the authorities of the church because of their thoughts on the faith, redemption, little things that were expressed, and therefore the archbishop had to step in to oppose what he thought was going wrong in the church. And so he wrote in his declaration, this is a brief excerpt, "We adhere with our whole heart and with our whole soul to Catholic Rome, the guardian of the Catholic faith and those traditions necessary for the maintenance of that faith, to eternal Rome, mistress of wisdom and truth. Because of this adherence, we refuse and have always refused to follow the Rome of neo-modernist and neo-Protestant tendencies, such as were clearly manifested during the Second Vatican Council and after the Council in all the resulting effects." That in mind, what followed, Rome received this document and also printed this document in their periodical in Rome called the Observatorio Romano. However, the last phrase was left out. I will quote that for you. "By acting thus," the whole document being included, "we are sure, with the grace of God and the help of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, and Saint Pius X, of remaining faithful to the Catholic and Roman Church, to all the successors of Saint Peter, and of being fideles dispensantores mysterium Domini Nostri Jesu Christi in Spiritu Sancto," that is, faithful dispensers of the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. That last phrase happened to be left out. But that is a key phrase. For the archbishop had to go 2 pages long declaring why he was standing against the church. He states the problems. He states his fidelity, but against neo-modernist and neo-Protestant, very harsh statements to Rome. But keep it in mind that this is why. So to be a faithful dispenser of the mysteries of faith. We'll see. But there's a reason why, most likely, that this was left out. But in consequence to this visit of the authorities to Ikon, the archbishop consequently asked, "What was the thought on your visit?" The answer from Rome is that 99% of your seminary is very good. The 1% that we do not like, the badness, the poor aspect of your seminary, is that you say the Latin Mass. So here we have a struggle in front of us. But after this declaration, we had a tribunal, which was normal. Archbishop was opposing Rome. They had a trial for him. But that trial did not follow canon law. We will not go into it in depth. However, we want to know that that aspect, as well as what happened recently with Bishop Fallet, with the German bishops and trying to re-excommunicate him after it was lifted by the Pope, canon law is not being followed, although they try to pin us down with the fact that we are not canonically established. Again, it's a way to see the spirits on in this battle. And also at this time, because of the Declaration of 74, when Archbishop Lefebvre went to Rome for a Jubilee pilgrimage in 1975, some priests stated that the tension was so great, the fear was so much, that they thought the archbishop would be assassinated. Again, keeping this spirit in mind, that an archbishop who seems to be following only the line of his predecessors, being attacked from all sides by the Roman authorities, fearing his life in the eternal city, we will see discerning of spirits gives it a bad sign. And lastly, we want to quote a fact that a bishop approached the archbishop when he thought that the archbishop and the society were trying to form a parallel church. And in this confrontation, the archbishop said, "If any bishop breaks from Rome, it will not be me." He states that. But that is good for us to understand from his words that he wants to keep a connection with Rome. He's going to Rome for a pilgrimage. He's declaring to Rome his thoughts. He's trying to constantly be in communication with the seat of Peter. Because with that aspect, it will help us not going to either side. The modernists, what we call the society, and then the sedevacantists. So for you, it's good to know the communication with Rome does help us balance out from going to an extreme. And then also we have to quote a factor of 1979 from a sermon the Archbishop gave at his Jubilee Mass of his priestly ordination. In this we see the fidelity to the Pope and the fidelity to the Mass, a great encouragement for us. He states, "For the glory of the Blessed Trinity, for the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the devotion to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, for the love of the Church, for the love of the Pope, for the love of the bishops, priests, and all the faithful, for the salvation of the world, and for the salvation of souls. Keep this testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep the Mass of all time." We have to see very clearly the repetition. We will go on to the third function here, the third timeline, that of 1988, June 30th, 1988. This was a crucial event in the history of the Society of St. Pius X, the Church, and the world. It is what is the consecration of the four bishops without jurisdiction. And this was a very clear dividing point for the world, for the Church, for the society. It was a time in which the difficulties to see faith and obedience came to light. It was a direct act of disobedience. Therefore, those who kept obedience above faith fell to what we know as the Society of St. Peter, the Fraternity of St. Peter. But the question is, why? Was there a confusion between faith and obedience? For we know by our catechism that faith is a theological virtue. Obedience is a moral virtue. God takes precedence over the morals, faith being the higher virtue in this case. The reason why is because of fear. The authorities pressured. The subjects feared the consequence, excommunication. But the purpose of quote-unquote rebelling and following the faith, the higher virtue, is attachment to Rome. It seems visibly as a disobedient act. But with hindsight, 2020 reflection, we will see that it is only the fidelity to Rome. And the proof of this is the discernment of spirits. Anyone who's gone on an Ignatian exercise has the discernment of spirits, the rules that you follow. Keep in mind that factor of fear, pressure, persecution in 1975 when the Archbishop went to Rome. Now with 1988, the consecrations, where the authorities again came to the Archbishop saying, "Do not do that. Just say this Mass, everything will be fine." He said no, but the question is, what were they trying to stop? The answer to that is that they were trying to stop the archbishop from perpetuating the priesthood. It doesn't seem like that's a bad action. But again, we have to understand this so to see. But let us take to understand that this was the true spirit of the archbishop, a letter that he wrote to the future archbishops, the four bishops that would be consecrated. He wrote these words to them. The main purpose of my passing on the episcopacy is that the grace of priestly orders be continued, for the true sacrifice of the Mass to be continued, and that the grace of confirmation be bestowed upon the children and upon the faithful who will ask you of it. I beseech you to remain attached to the See of Peter, to the Roman Church, mother and mistress of all churches, in the integral Catholic faith expressed in the various creeds of our Catholic faith, in the Catechism of the Council of Trent, in the conformity with what you were taught at your seminary. Remain faithful to the handing down of this faith, so that the kingdom of our Lord may come. Finally, my dear friends, be my consolation in Jesus Christ. Remain strong in the faith, faithful in the true sacrifice of the Mass, to the true and holy priest of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the triumph in the glory of Jesus, in heaven and on earth, for the salvation of souls, and for the salvation of my soul. Those who can discern spirits have the answer. We have to see that it was a pure intention. So this action, and also the action of the present situation of Bishop Fillet, and then going back all the way in time to the 4th century, 380, when St. Eusebius did the same exact thing. He consecrated bishops without jurisdiction. He ordained priests without canonical approbation. And he is a canonized saint. And he was at the time of the Arian heresy with St. Athanasius. What he was doing is trying to contribute to the common good. What he did is exactly what Archbishop Lefebvre did in 1988. History repeats itself. Truth never changes. So we have to have these words here of the Archbishop speaking of St. Eusebius. So if history shows us bishops who took it on themselves to perform the office of quote-unquote doctor to the failing churches, it shows us at the same time with pressing circumstances dictated this conduct. To make it legitimate, the need had to be such as to concern the very existence of religion, a situation in which the ministry of particular pastors was entirely destroyed or made ineffectual and wherein no possible recourse to the Holy See could be hoped for. There are a few conditions, all of which were fulfilled with the Archbishop in 1988. We will pass on to the fourth category, the 2000 pilgrimage in Rome, which was an expression of faith to the world and also an impression to the world of the quality over quantity. The small group of now we exist with 525 priests. So at the time of 2000, much less. But the expression of this action, a pilgrimage, which they visited the 7 major basilicas, which happens very infrequently. Those who did the Cabrini pilgrimage this year, who remembers that young lady who came and asked, "Do you speak English?" Exactly the same thing. The church, the world, does not know what a Catholic action is. So this pilgrimage of 2000 opened the eyes. And they saw that, as St. Matthew says in his gospel, this little flame must enkindle the world. So we have to try to be that instrument. Now, in view of this speed, rare in the church, with which these changes have been carried out in the countries, it is difficult to avoid the fear that some of these measures may be being unforeseen and unhappy consequences. The Archbishop is trying to say in these few words that the hostility, the hastiness of the church from the point of Vatican II is not a good sign. And he says, it is thus with devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, to the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the saints, whose statues have been banished from many churches, regardless of the simple pastoral teachings and catechists. He states that there has been a lot of destruction in the church quickly. And he will go to Scripture. We can go to Scripture. And this can help your Protestant friends. But Scripture says, in reference to this hastiness, the inheritance gotten hastily in the beginning, Vatican II, in the end shall be without blessing. Proverbs 20:21. Scripture proves for us, it is a way of proof. So let us try to preserve this quality of Rome. It is a quality of Rome, which has been broken, but to be slow. How many of us have seen Rome take baby steps? It is not a bad thing. And so the society tries to be slow and hopefully to keep this Roman quality. But with this pilgrimage, we did see a great profession of faith, a great devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, those signs which are an expression of the Church. Then we will go to what we call the Fatima pilgrimage in 2005. And here we have to see what the reason was for. 2000 was a Jubilee pilgrimage. 2005, it is not a Jubilee. The reason for Bishop Fillet to ask for this pilgrimage in Fatima was an act of reparation. And we will try to oppose, to at least juxtapose, the two actions, one of Archbishop Lefebvre and one of Bishop Fillet. Bishop Fillet was in 2004, he had to confront a scandal given by Pope Paul II. That is, in Fatima, there was a Hindu who was able to celebrate a ceremony in the Basilica in Fatima. Because of that scandal, a sin against the faith, the Bishop Fillet made this pilgrimage of reparation in 2005. Also, in 1986, Archbishop Lefebvre made an act of reparation in a smaller way to Pope John Paul II for the scandal given in Assisi. That's where there was an ecumenical gathering of all religions in the city of Assisi. But not with a pilgrimage did the Archbishop oppose the Pope, but rather he did a different angle. Very hilarious angle, if you may say. What he did is he sent two cartoons to the Pope. They follow. The first cartoon, it seems it might be quite a reprimanding to the Pope. However, he sent the first one which said, it was Pope John Paul II refusing our Lord Jesus Christ and the Blessed Virgin Mary to enter the ecumenical gathering. And the Pope said, you are not an ecumenical, you're not allowed. The second cartoon was our Lord Jesus Christ refusing Pope John Paul II to enter heaven. And he stated that he, our Lord Jesus Christ, is alone the door to salvation. The point was made in a very humorous way. However, the Pope most likely did not take it that way. However, putting that aside, we see that the Archbishop had to address the issue. Bishop Fillet had to address the issue. Do we not see a correlation with the spirit of the leaders of the Society of St. Pius X? And those who want to know more of what happened actually at the pilgrimage may ask those who were on the pilgrimage. Because although we were allowed to go visit the shrine after the pontifical mass, we processed there, we were barricaded from entering the shrine. The question again is why? We're a pilgrimage going to the Fatima statue to pray the rosary. We are 2,000 faithful. You will not stop that. And they wanted to express their dissatisfaction, although there was already permission granted. And after we got through, what happened? But people were vacuuming, just happened to vacuum the rug at the shrine during that time. But again, you can ask your servant up here to give you the story from a first-hand notice. Lastly, we will go to the present situation, September 2010. Where do we stand now? Having been explained the statute, this is society, having seen the spirit, the repetition, where are we? Let us go to one of the recent letters to friends and benefactors of Bishop Fillet. He states, "It is very important to remain in this regard as realistic as possible." He's referencing the dialogue between Rome and us at the moment. "Although we rejoice over all the good that is being done in the church and the world, we nevertheless have no illusions about the seriousness of this present situation. Let us take that to help us, to help those who possibly are concerned that Bishop Blay is too laxed. He's helping Rome devour the society. And those who are too strict and think that Bishop Fillet is hasty. But we see rather that he is prudent and only trying to follow reality." So we see with this timeline that the plan of attack from the beginning has been followed. Faith first, fidelity to Rome, fidelity to the faith. The spirit of Rome is being intact. The spirit of Rome is the Catholic spirit to try to perpetuate the priesthood. And we know that Archbishop Lefebvre, having been trained in Rome, having been elevated to a high status in the Roman authorities, and even paints papal nuncio at times, a general superior, an archbishop, he had what you may say is the Roman spirit. He had the greatest Roman spirit one may have, you may say. He loved Rome. He loved being there. He wanted to retire there. So he tried to transmit that to his priests. However, we also see in this course of affairs that there was prudence and wisdom, slowness. And so we see that we need those two aspects of prudence and wisdom to balance our lives, to be virtuous, that is balance, and that is ultimately to be Catholic. So what? The question is, what is this cause? What is the principle that motivates the continual link with the past, with tradition, with slowness, as we code the fifth mark of the Church? The answer to what the cause is divine providence. Divine providence which led the archbishop. A seminarian came to his door, God speaking to him to form a society, being erected by the superiors, trying to follow history, St. Eusebius in his consecration of the archbishops, or the bishops. And this same spirit which we have seen the link between Bishop Fillet and the archbishop is still the same. Following divine providence, reality, the church. And so if we have this aspect that divine providence is the cause of all of these effects, the repetition of history, we will be very consoled to know that we are without fail. If you follow divine providence, which is God, you cannot fail. So let us try to keep that in mind amidst these struggles of life, because it is fierce. The struggle is on. But I would commend to you two things to study. The first is the biography of Archbishop Lefebvre, which is in your bookstore. Very hefty, very thick, but it gives you the spirit of the battle. Lastly, you have the Mass of All Time, a book which cannot go without being read because it is a great spiritual work. However, it comes in two parts. The second part of the book is a question of the liturgical reform. So it is not only spiritual, but also doctrinal. It is what you want to have. And again, these conferences will try to give to you a little bit of what the fight is about, a little knowledge. So by knowing, you can love. And by loving, you can serve. And by serving, you can receive.